Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is really weird. Seriously, this is really weird. After getting used to working, kind of used to working from a spare bedroom, staring into a corner in a bedroom that was painted green, a spare bedroom at my old place. I am now in all new digs, not in a bedroom, not in a room with carpet, not staring into a green corner. Oh my gosh. The whole thing is weird. It was a day, let me just tell you. And of course, the staycation is over. Movageddon is done. And so I begin another round of radio shows from what is the newest, and I hope much more impressive. I don't know about that though. After Hours Super Secret Home Base. If you have not seen the photo, I did tweet it when I was setting up the equipment earlier in my new house. It's right smack dab in the middle of the living room. And I'm staring out a window, though right now, that's kind of weird. I might have to put a light on outside. I do have an outside light. I'm about 6 feet from my front door and about 6 feet from my TV. The router is just behind it. And so I have to be in the living room in order to plug directly into my router and make sure that we do not have uninterrupted service. So I went from green bedroom staring into a corner that you told me to decorate to my living room. There are some heavy curtains in front of me that I hope are kind of muting the sound and providing a bit of a buffer so that it is not echoing. I do have furniture in the house, so that's good. And it just feels weird, you guys. I went away I was away from you for 9 days. I barely thought about radio. I'm sorry. I was overwhelmed. I really didn't think about radio much at all. And I thought about sports the same amount of time. My family just went back home. They just dispersed to the rest of the United States a few hours ago. 6 hours ago, I handed in the keys to my rental house that I had lived in for 5 years. And so now I'm no longer responsible for two houses. I no longer have a house full of people, which is what it was like for the last 8 days. And I'm back doing a radio show in a strange place. So I'm all off. Everything's off. But I'm going to adjust with you, and we're going to get through it together. I did miss you, and I appreciate all of your tweets and your Facebook posts over the course of the last 8 or 9 days. I really haven't spent a lot of time on social media because Mom wanted to get stuff done. I'll just be honest. Mom is relentless. But here's what Mom taught me my entire life. Show up when people need help. Go and help when people need it. Don't just say, hey, I'll pray for you. Don't just say, hey, I'm thinking of you. Show up. Be present. Lend a helping hand. Do the grunt work. That's how you prove to people that you care. You show up. And she has modeled that my entire life. She shows up when I need help, when my brother needs help, when friends or family members need help. And here is my mom in her mid-70s. She gets on a plane. She flies from Houston. And she spends the last 8 days helping me along with the rest of my family. They rescued me. I was drowning. I was overwhelmed. And Mom led the charge, as she has since I was a kid. My mom has always led by example when it comes to showing up. So once again, my family showed up. We're not a perfect family. Oh, heavens. We're a mess most of the time. But I am so grateful for a family and a mother who have always shown up when I need them the most. And so it's the biggest adjustment to have an empty house because I miss their voices. I miss their nonstop input. I miss their help. But I mostly miss them. I miss them because I love them. And so that's the biggest change as I sit here and begin another round of radio shows. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, thank you for those of you who sent well wishes and who were missing me last week. It's always nice to be missed. I will never take that for granted. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also find our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Boy, do I have some stories to tell you, including my foray into peanut butter burger. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to make any other noises. I'm not going to express myself with any other adjectives until we get to the story about the peanut butter burger. There is a photo to prove to you that I did try peanut butter on my burger. Mom took it. So we'll get to that. And of course, I've got some moving stories and some, oh my gosh, my mother set the dishwasher on fire. Did you even know that was possible? Did you know it was possible to set the dishwasher on fire? My mother did it, not me, my mom. And also my poor dog has Lyme disease. So there's a lot to talk about. Oh my goodness. But as Dave, who is with us in the control room tonight, just said a few minutes ago, the Patriots gave you a gift. It was like a welcome back gift. The Patriots made a big splash on Sunday evening, and they reached an agreement that was leaked by Adam Schefter first. Cam Newton, 1 year incentive laden. Essentially, it's the league minimum. It's a low-risk signing for the New England Patriots, but with this former NFL MVP, who is still theoretically in the prime of his career, in his very early 30s, he could be just as important a signing as what many people think Tom Brady will be for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, they're supposed to meet in the preseason, but that's, you know, that's... Who's paying any attention to that? So Cam Newton, after sitting and waiting, probably sweating a little bit, I know I would be. I've been fired slash cut before. And it's hard. It's hard to not have any certainty about your future, to wonder if your career is over, to not know if you're going to have to pick up and move, where you're going to have to pick up and move. And so Cam put a very succinct message on Instagram Sunday night, but there were also some video of him working out. I'm excited as I don't know what right now. Along with the hashtag, oh my gosh, this is so strange. Let's go, Pats! The NFL is the gift that keeps on giving, is it not? I want to hear your reaction. I can't wait to hear your reaction to Cam Newton. Again, this is a former MVP who is now part of the Patriots quarterback room. This is an overall number one draft pick. And you know, he was released by the Panthers after 9 years in late March. He passed the physical that he took in Atlanta just before the Panthers released him. Now that was coordinated by the Panthers and his agency. But he passed that physical. And according to the Panthers, as well as those who conducted the physical, his agency, he's healthy. His shoulder, which was the issue two seasons ago, his foot, which was the issue last year, they both, quote, checked out well, according to Adam Schefter. Now, we know that Cam has posted and has shared that he is hungrier than ever. You want to talk about motivation. This guy is supremely motivated. There is nothing like, and many of you have talked about his attitude in the past. He's not going to fit with the Patriots or other teams because of his attitude, the me first, the whatever else you want to say. There certainly have been moments over Cam's career where I have cringed, and at times I have criticized how he acted after the loss in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 to Denver. How he, at times, has come across as a guy who puts himself before the team. Now, he's also a charismatic leader. But there are times when it's Cam, and Cam's, this was a little earlier in his career, but we've seen it pop up. Cam's attitude, Cam's pouting, Cam's disappointment, whether it's with himself or with his teammates, Cam taking himself out of that position of leadership because he couldn't control his emotions. But he's also extremely passionate. He works hard. And nothing like losing a job, getting cut, having the entire football world watch you in your humiliation. Everybody knows that you're sitting around waiting for somebody to call, and now you're taking a job for the league minimum. This is the guy who holds most of the Panthers' career passing records. This is the guy who's passed for more than 29,000 yards. And why don't we throw in 4,800 yards on the ground? This is a guy who, when he is healthy and in the right mindset, changes the game. He's so difficult to defend when he is Cam, the former NFL MVP. He can set a tone for a locker room. He can motivate with his passion. But these last 2 years have been humbling for him. Nothing like a couple of years of public humiliation. And while I say that, I want you to know, I don't think he was humiliated, only that from his perspective, as a guy with a lot of pride, as a guy who is a former MVP, as a guy who's used to being the one. And yes, I do mean that along with his uniform number. But he's used to being the man. He's used to being big man on campus. He's used to being the center of attention. The injuries took him out of the equation. His career and his demise have been widely discussed and debated. He not only lost a job, but has had to watch people discuss whether or not he's even worthy of a starting job in the NFL. Everybody else found new gigs, except for Cam. That's hard. It's hard on a proud athlete. It's hard on anyone. But in Cam's situation, this was never going to happen privately. He was held up as an MVP and the gold standard and a transcendent talent for all the world to see. But when that happens and you're a public figure, the downfall is also just as public. And sometimes, many times, people would rather talk, gloat, point, laugh about your demise than they would celebrate your successes. That's the world of social media that we live in. So congratulations to Cam Newton. He is moving to New England. New England's a great place. Grew up there, loved it. So I'm excited to talk about it with you. Again, you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Why New England? Well, CBS NFL insider Pete Prisco has the answer.
Well, I think New England made a lot of sense. That had been rumored for a while. I think the concern with the injury was always there. But when you look at the deal, it's a one-year deal. Not a lot of money committed to him. So there is some out in case he doesn't respond to treatment. But you hear he's made some good progress. You hear he's going to be okay. And I think that was kind of what's holding the whole thing up. I mean, this is a guy who had major injuries, and people want to get an idea of where he is from a health standpoint. It's a good fit. I mean, they talked up Jarrett Stidham the entire offseason, how great he looked and what they expected from him. And then here we are a little over a month away from training camp, and they go sign a former MVP. So good move for the Patriots, good move for Cam Newton. I think he's going to be motivated to go in there and show he can still play at a high level.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports HQ. I thought this was a really interesting point from Albert Breer. He tweeted this not that long ago. Patriots coach Bill Belichick has often signed offensive players who he had trouble defending, and Cam Newton is an example of one. And these are the stats that Albert tweeted about Newton versus the Pats. 2-0, 41 for 57 through the air, 525 yards, 6 touchdowns, just 1 interception in those games. So that's Albert Breer, who is he's actually been on the show since we started working from the, well, it was the other super secret home base, but he is with MMQB and has covered the Patriots for a long time. That's an interesting point. Bill Belichick, who is a mad scientist when it comes to football, believes that he has the edge on most players with his research, his ingenuity, the designs that he comes up with, especially defensively. But there are players that have gotten the best of him. There are players that have given him fits. Cam Newton is one of those. And he's now turned Cam into a low-risk, potentially high-reward asset. It's amazing. So congratulations to Cam. I'm glad he has a job. That's a, as I say, a humbling thing to go through, to get fired, to have the whole world know that you got fired and that you're stewing and waiting for your next opportunity, and then to land with the model franchise in the NFL for the past 20 years. You got to admit, once again, the NFL delivers the drama. So what do you think? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And of course, there were a lot of things that happened while I was gone. Oh my gosh, the Major League Baseball agreement. I tried to feel something for you, baseball. So I want to talk a little bit about that. We've got the latest testing numbers from MLS. And you know, Orlando is about to be the hub for both the NBA and Major League Soccer. And of course, that's one of the epicenters right now. One of the hot spots, if you will. I don't really like epicenter. One of the hot spots, if you will, for COVID-19 numbers. Texas is now backpedaling a little bit when it comes to bars being open. You've also got places in California where they've actually closed the bars again in some counties. And so there are governors who are dialing back now and are deciding that they've got to clamp down a little more because people are getting all excited about their newfound freedoms. And I don't blame you. I totally understand. But there are places where the virus numbers are spiking again. In Florida, Orlando is one of those places. And so we'll give you the latest there. The NBA releases its schedule. I still can't get over how odd, what a strange finish to the season this will be. We've got teams practicing when they're not supposed to be practicing. And of course, I've got stories. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers radio network. Man, do I miss play-by-play, live play-by-play. Football, we'd be jonesing for it anyway. Major League Baseball, shoot, I got nothing for you. I'm trying to feel something for you, baseball, but I just haven't yet. And I'm not so confident that they're actually going to get back to the field for a lot of reasons. So we'll talk a little bit about baseball as well. But football, per the usual, the NFL is full freaking steam ahead. I mean, no matter what the prognosticators and the predictors and the experts and the analysts say, the NFL is, as we know, a freight train that barrels its way through really any obstacle. And with the brain power and the money that the NFL has to put behind any problem, they generally figure it out, even if sometimes the league is like a bull in a china shop. But I can identify with that because I am like a bull in a china shop, but nothing like my brother. Oh my gosh. As my mom said to me before I ever started moving, don't ask your brother to help you move, because he generally tends to just pick up a piece of furniture and force it to go wherever he wants it to go. And with hardwood floors and with a new house that I purchased, I was a little bit leery of that. Anyway, so yeah, this past week, my piano turned into his own personal shelf because he was sleeping and working in the office in the piano room slash office while he was here. And I could barely see the piano with the stuff that he had all over it. And I'd walk into a room and he's moved a bunch of stuff and I don't know where it went. And so I can identify, because bowl in a china shop is kind of a way that my brother and I have been described. However, I would have it no other way. We come from good Italian stock. So I feel like the NFL resembles that remark. The NFL is not entertaining any ideas that there will not be a full season. And because of the way the league approaches problem solving, you kind of tend to believe that it will get done. There may be some glitches. There may be a stop and a start. There may be some moments of bad news along the way, but they've got enough people committed to it. They've got enough money to throw behind it and some powerful people that run the league and the teams that you kind of get the sense the NFL is not going to let anything stand in its way. Well, Major League Baseball poses that same type of an attitude. It barely feels as though Major League Baseball is hanging on, I mean, by a thread. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to get on the same page and push this thing forward. That's the deal with the NFL. Certainly there are people who don't agree with what the league is doing. There are players who are outspoken. Sometimes there are coaches who might express their concerns. But for the most part, the owners remain as a united front. Doesn't mean they're always on the same page. We know that there are certainly issues where the owners do not agree. But under Roger Goodell's leadership, those owners remain united. They pose a united front. They present a united front. And so with that power, better together type of a thing, you feel like they can move forward. And the players don't have nearly as much power as what they do in Major League Baseball. And so I don't know. I feel like the Major League Baseball season is a little bit like a rickety table. Maybe it was something from, I was just about to say the name of a store where you would get kind of cheap furniture, but I'm not going to, because that would be awful. Just think about it. A cheap table, maybe a card table, and you feel like the legs could collapse at any time and the whole thing could just go crashing to the floor. That's kind of how I feel about Major League Baseball. The NFL, not so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll talk more about Cam Newton as we head through the show. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I haven't even opened Facebook yet, but I will. I promise. The photo of my new setup, my new After Hours super secret location, is in fact on Facebook as well. So you can find it there. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You actually get a glimpse of my curtains. Mom and I hung curtains. We did all kinds of stuff this past week. In fact, there are even pictures on the walls. My mom's husband and my brother, although, like I said, Matt Bull in a china shop, he actually pulled this. It was an adhesive that had a hook on it to hang something, the previous owners. He pulls on it and leaves a hole in the wall. Great, Matt. Thanks. Get away from the walls. Anyway, so we figured it out. We got a good system. My painting, the one piece of art that I own, I got on the sale, but it's a gorgeous Venice scene. It hangs over my couch. It actually matches the curtains that are now up in the living room with the pinks and the browns of a sunset, and it's gorgeous. So you can catch a glimpse of my curtains if you really like. And you can see my cactus. My Christmas cactus is in the window as well, just beyond the curtains. I have a bay window I've seen one car go by in the last, 90 minutes or so. So it's a really quiet neighborhood. My mom was concerned the neighbors could hear me, but since the windows and doors are closed, I highly doubt it. So I'd love to hear from you, Twitter or Facebook, and we'll talk more about Cam Newton, plus the NBA also descending on Orlando, and they've got various teams with COVID-19 cases, and they've got, excuse me, I have no way to turn off my microphone, so I just have to clear my throat while I'm talking to you. That hasn't changed. They've got now these report dates where teams are supposed to get back to practicing. How will that progress moving forward? And at the same time, you've got more players who are opting out. You've got more players who are choosing not to play in this resumed season. But I tell you what, every time I read something like this, and the reason I'm reading this about the Nets is because Wilson Chandler is the latest to inform his team and the league that he will not join the Nets in Orlando. You get to the bottom of the column and it says this: the Nets are scheduled to resume their season against the Magic on July 31st. Just such a weird statement. Just odd. Everything about this summer is weird, except for Peter Schwartz, who joins us from his own super secret location. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's not really a secret location. I'm home.
Well, I know that, but we're not going to tell everyone where you live. I hope it's secret enough that people can't find you.
So.
Yeah. How was your last week?
Kind of the same as the week before, other than the fact that we now have in restaurant dining on Long Island, so that's good. So we're making progress. The numbers keep getting better, so maybe the NBA should think about having their restart in New York as opposed to Florida, where the numbers are going up.
Maybe. There you go. I do not have the option of in-restaurant, like inside dining for restaurants, but my family and I, we stimulated the local economy one restaurant at a time last week. We did takeout 5 times. Now, I'm not a huge fan of takeout because I feel like it's usually nowhere near as good as what you get in a restaurant. But yeah, we got recommendations. 5 nights we did takeout, and that includes having some friends over for dinner. So we're all about putting money into the economy with the restaurants.
Yeah, we've been doing that since this whole thing started. I mean, unfortunately for a lot of those places all around the country, a lot of them are going to go out of business. But I think it was very important for anybody in any community to support the local businesses, the ones that were able to stay open. I mean, there's so many places still, you know, in New York, in New Jersey, in Connecticut, in the Northeast, where there's a lot of, you know, positivity and the numbers are looking good. There's still a lot of things that haven't opened yet. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate that what's going to happen to some of these businesses, but it's nice to see that things are starting to come back and things are starting to open up a little bit.
Yeah, and the great thing is that every week I hear from people who say, I'm going back to work, I can't wait to hear your show, or, you know, I'm not going to be able to hear your show live anymore because I'm going back to work. And I'm always so quick to reply and say, yes, that's awesome, congratulations. So I know that there are places where the numbers are spiking and we've got to find the right balance, and there are people who don't want to take precautions. But as you point out, in places where people are and where there's been this optimism about reopening and people value that, well, then you're seeing the numbers stay low, which is awesome. So it's good to talk to you.
It's not a lot to ask of people to wear a mask.
But that's not the only thing. I mean, there are other things too, but
I know.
You're right to wear a mask in public for sure. When you're out, it seems like a small price to pay for being able to be out of our houses. So it's good to talk to you. We're glad to have you on board.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was largely the push of the superstar athletes in the NBA that made this return happen. Of course, the owners want to get back, and of course they want to finish their season. But if the players hadn't wanted to and they hadn't been so vocal about it, maybe we wouldn't have seen the finish to the NBA with this bubble concept. And the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James, the top seed in the West to this point, and certainly have a great opportunity now to finish what they started if they can get to Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining joining us. We are pleased to welcome Trevor Lane, who is all about the Lakers, senior writer for Lakers Nation, also hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. Trevor, it's great to have you with us on the show. Where are the Lakers now? I feel like one of those old magazines that would say, where are they now? But where are the Lakers now, and what are they doing?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yeah, right now the Lakers are still in L.A. They haven't headed out to Orlando yet. I believe they've got another week or so, week and a half or so, till they actually head out to Orlando and then start preparing there. Right now, things are still pretty much on lockdown at the training facility in terms of the amount of workouts they can get in and all of that. They can get in there and they can get in some individual work, but nothing as far as any type of teamwork or anything like that goes, social distancing and all the proper precautions being, you know, taking place. So that's where they're at the moment. And it's going to be a little while before all the guys can really get on the floor together. And I know that's a concern for not just Lakers players, but a number of players around the league right now.
We had heard reports of the Lakers practicing, some of them together, at private gyms or a private facility, and that the NBA, or at least some other teams in the NBA, were concerned about them getting an advantage during what is supposed to be a shutdown for the coronavirus. Is that true?
You know what? None of the players will say, and there's probably a good reason for that, But yeah, the rumor that was out there started by Bill Simmons and J.J. Redick, they mentioned just they had been hearing that, hey, you know, the Lakers are out there practicing and that they found a place where they can practice. It's a replica of the Staples Center floor and a guy who's got a house in Bel Air. It's actually the CEO of L.A. Gear, Steven Jackson. We heard before that LeBron and Anthony Davis were doing what they could to try to find a court somewhere for their guys to go play. And whether that was individual workouts or group workouts, you know, there wasn't a lot of clarity on that. But if you're in LA and you're looking for a place to go play where professional players can go in and work out, that would probably be one of your top options if you can't get in to an actual NBA facility. It's well known. It's a place where a number of different NBA players have gone. So it has the ring of truth to it as far as rumors go, but I can't officially confirm anything there.
What was the reaction, as best you could tell, to Avery Bradley choosing not to return with the Lakers to Orlando and the finish to the season?
I mean, there's obviously the guys want him out there. Lakers fans want him out there. Of course, they would love to have him out there on the floor. But at the same time, there's an understanding that, hey, if this is, you feel like you're going to be putting your child at risk by going and going to Orlando, then of course there's going to be understanding that, hey, that's not a risk that's appropriate to take. And so I know that he'll certainly be missed out there on the floor, but again, this is a unique situation. And if he's made the decision that, hey, this isn't a risk that I feel comfortable taking, then I don't think anybody is truly going to fault him for it, even if there is that kind of disappointment that he won't be able to be there with the team.
Trevor Lane is the host of the Lakers Nation podcast with us live here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Who replaces Avery Bradley and grabs those minutes?
Well, most likely we're going to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Bradley had something of a fracture in the leg, as I recall, earlier in the season. And so he missed, I believe it was 14 games. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope popped into the starting lineup for him at that juncture, and the Lakers went 13-1 in those games. So they did pretty well. So I would imagine that Frank Vogel probably goes back that direction, but that we're probably also going to see an uptick in minutes for a guy like Alex Caruso, who's probably the closest on the team to at least replicating Avery Bradley's ability on the defensive end of the floor. And that's the real big loss when you're losing a guy like Avery Bradley, is what he brings on the defensive end.
Right.
And so Alex Caruso's minutes probably go up. And we could even see a little bit of Deion Waiters. And if they bring in J.R. Smith, somebody like that, a number of different options for the Lakers to turn to at guard. So Frank Vogel's got options out there, but I do expect KCP and Alex Caruso to probably do most of the heavy lifting there.
So, Trevor, we know the eight games, they're called seeding games, right? Even though the Lakers at this point are the top seed in the West. Clippers, Raptors, hello, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, Kings. When you saw that, what was your reaction?
I thought, wow, that's a difficult schedule. I wasn't anticipating seeing Clippers, number one. We had kind of had a little bit of an inkling of what it was going to look like, but I didn't expect to see Clippers there right out of the gate. It's going to be interesting. You know, if the Lakers win that first game, that pretty much shut down any threat of them falling out of the number one seed. But if they lose it, then maybe things get a little bit interesting. But look, it is a tough schedule. There's a lot of teams who thought they had a pretty easy schedule heading into the home stretch. But then because those bottom eight, or the delete eight, as they're being called, teams aren't going, those teams that you could have racked up wins against, they're not there anymore. There are no real easy games on the schedule anymore, unless you could look at the Phoenix Suns as one of them, or the Washington Wizards or somebody like that. But for the most part, you're going to have a tough schedule no matter who you are, but the Lakers schedule does look particularly difficult for me.
I kind of feel like, though, for a team with as many veterans as the Lakers, who have championship aspirations, so they're not just playing out the string or going because they happen to fall within, you know, the 22 teams. This is probably a team that was most eager to get back on the court because A, LeBron is later in his career, and B, the Lakers have been out of the mix for so long. So I kind of feel like the Lakers have this great opportunity, and maybe the tougher games are the right warm-up for them because they want to get back into that championship form as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know what, they absolutely do. We know that LeBron was in the guys' ears and saying, hey, you know, make sure you're staying in shape and you're staying ready because, you know, we've got business to go take care of. If the Lakers can get out there and get some tough teams right out of the gate, yeah, I mean, maybe that does help sharpen them a little bit quicker than if they had some easy games on their schedule. But I also wonder, you know, how much will Frank Vogel look at this as like a preseason type experience where maybe he's feeding less minutes to guys like LeBron and Anthony Davis in certain games and keeping them healthy and keeping them rested and things like that. So, at some point I think that's going to factor in as well. But, yeah, you're right. Look, if you're going to tune up against anybody, might as well be against some of the best.
Mm. Trevor, I saw that you retweeted a quote from Adam Silver last week in which he says, "We're coming back because sports matter in our society. They bring people together when they need it the most." Now, some people meet that with cynicism and will point to the big money and say, yeah, great, sports matter, but mostly it's about the bottom line. What's your reaction when you hear people talk about the NBA or any other sport returning because of, say, a public responsibility and because of the place that sports have in the United States?
Well, I mean, I think certainly the money is going to be the driving factor, right? But Adam Silver can't just come out and say, hey, we need the money, so this is why we're coming back. You're going to always put a positive. You're going to put a positive spin on it. That, you know, that's what you have to do. But it doesn't mean that he's wrong either, right? I mean, look, the money can absolutely be the driving factor, but that doesn't mean that sports coming back doesn't also provide us with that little bit of normalcy. I mean, I've been watching more UFC fights than I have in years, just because being able to see that, being able to have sports on TV provides that normalcy. English Premier League soccer, the Bundesliga, right? We've got MLS coming back. MLB, despite their best efforts, are coming back. This is something that was part of our routine in this country. And so to get that back, being able to watch sports again, I think that even as in these difficult times, it provides that feeling of normalcy. And I think that's much needed right now.
How much do you believe, and of course your perspective is the Lakers, but how much do you believe that the commissioner is respected and has a strong, positive relationship with the players in the NBA?
I think that he does. I definitely think that he does. It seems like they are listening to the players and taking their advice now. And this go-round, obviously, there were some players who didn't feel like their voices were being heard. That was mostly the stars that were getting heard. But in general, you look at the way the NBA has gone, it's become more and more player friendly. The players are having a voice. They're being encouraged to speak their mind on social issues and all of that. So I think compared to the other sports leagues, Adam Silver is doing a real good job in terms of keeping the players involved and just developing that relationship with them.
Trevor, before I let you go, just about 30 seconds, but how excited are you about the fact that basketball may soon be on the court again?
Oh, I am through the roof with excitement. I've been going back over the last few days and rewatching old games just to kind of, you know, get ramped up and get ready for it. So I am thrilled. I can't wait to see basketball out there on the floor again. It's going to look different. There's going to be no crowds and all that kind of stuff, but I don't care. Bring me basketball. I can't wait.
You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, covers the Lakers and hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. It's good to have you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes live.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Can you hear the excitement in Trevor's voice when I ask him that last question? The eagerness, the enthusiasm, and whether you're someone who covers the sport for a living, which of course it's more difficult to do when there aren't any games, or whether you are a fan and you recognize that this is a huge opportunity for the Lakers as well as some other teams, of course, or not. Penciling in the Lakers as the 2020 NBA champions, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the hoops they had to jump through to get to this point. The fact is that the NBA is on the horizon. Now, how much concern is there about the numbers spiking in Orlando? Well, I was hearing from you and your concerns even before I took my week off for Movageddon. So, of course, there are some concerns, and the NBA is doing its best to mitigate the risks with their bubble. We've got MLS heading to Orlando. We've got the latest with Major League Baseball. And we've got you and me together again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.